Shalom Aleichem, everybody. I'd like to offer you three gadlach on Parshas Kisavai, all of which are appropriate for before Yom Ha'Nayrayim, all have to do with a mussar, an insight into our behavior. In the Parsha, before we get to the Teichacha, we have a short number of psukim which talk about brachas. And here the Torah uses the lashon Ubohu Alecha Kol HaBrachos HaEle VeHisigucha. Really, all of these blessings will come upon you VeHisigucha, and they will overtake you. The question which many ask is why it says VeHisigucha, they will overtake you. That implies that one is running away from the bracha. People don't run away from brachas, as you have to say VeHisigucha. The usual parrots is that VeHisigucha refers to the fact that very often God gives us brachas. Rosh Hashanah gives us things that are good for us, but we don't see the goodness in it. We're busy running away from it. But finally, it overtakes us, and life goes on with experiences which we think to be unpleasant. We see later that what we were running away from was a blessing. The Hishigucha, and it will overtake you, that certainly is a true and wonderful pshat. However, this year I saw another pshat in the Torah Umayyadim, written by Rav Zevin. He says that a Talmud once asked the Kratzka what it means, Ubo Alecha HaBrocha Se'ela VeHisigucha. And the Kratzka answered quite cryptically, VeHisigucha, as it says, Hasogis Harayzit Al HaRambam. Literally, in the Sefer HaRambam, the Ravid has his notes, his disagreements, his arguments, and they are called Hasogis HaRayzit. The questions, the difficulties that the Ravid posed regarding the Rambam's words. Ubo Alecha HaBrachis HaEla, these blessings will come upon you, VeHisigucha, and there will be a question, there will be a difficulty. What did the Kratzka mean? Rav Zevin says, a beautiful shot. He says that when a person has difficulties, a person that suffers layalena from poverty or from illness, he has an excuse. He's not making a dominion. He's not going to eat him. It's very, very difficult. Anius maver odom al das kainai. It says in the Torah of Elishamu el Moshe mikreitza ruach. It's a good excuse when a person is not able to perform mikreitza ruach because of difficulties in life. However, when God gives a person bracha, ubra lecha habracha sa'ela v'hisigucha, if someone has blessing, if someone is blessed, v'hisigucha, it's going to be a curse on you, it's going to be a difficulty with your behavior. What is your excuse? How could it be that when things go well, you miss minyan? How could it be because of the joy of a wedding, you're up late, the next morning you miss minyan? V'hisigucha, it's a curse on you. How could you take God's blessing and turn it around and make it be something which distances you from mitzvahs na'avodas Hashem? What an insight. We live in a time, in an era, in a country of so much plenty. We have so much, we have much in Gashmias. Yet we always seem to be focusing on that which we're missing. I was at a wedding the other day. I met a friend, somebody who I had not seen since we were in eighth grade together. I don't believe I had seen him in 40 years. He was in Canada. And we met each other, recognized each other at the Chasana. And he said to me, Shalom Aleichem, greeted me, and he says, how many grandchildren do you have? I was astounded. I said, why are you assuming that I got married, that God granted me children, my children are married, and that they have grandchildren? And then when I said that to him, I realized the great blessings that God had given me. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive now 40 years later. I do have a family. It's something that I take for granted. But meeting to someone who I haven't seen in 40 years, that's a different story. Then I ask him, why do you take it for granted? Well, I should ask myself, why do I take it for granted? There are kasha, there are difficulty. We have to learn to appreciate and to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's good. The next part of the parasha is the Teichacha. And 98 psukim of terrible punishment. The difference between the Teichacha in this week's parasha and the one in the Chukaisai is, well, among other differences, but is that in parashas Bichukaisai, the language is the first person, as if God is talking to us directly. The Rabbani Shalom says, V'nasati, V'shilachti, V'zkadati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us directly. In parashas it's not that way. It's Moshe Rabbeinu talking to us first person about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do. Yakikah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will serve forth punishment. Yitzhak Hashem Becha, it's second person. It's first person to Moshe Rabbeinu, and actually third person regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is this so? So the Gemara addresses that. The Gemara says that the difference between the two is that Parshas Bukhu Kaisai Mipi HaGfura, Parshas Kisagai Mipi Moshe Ba'atzmai. That Moshe Rabbeinu said it on his own. Now, of course, it's part of Torah, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was conveying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message, but the words, the ideas, formed by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all Kasha. The Parshas Kisisa, when the Kaddish Baruch Hu threatens punishment, Moshe Rabbeinu defends Klal Yisrael vigorously. Atam Kisa Chatzosam Vimlav Mecheni Namesifrecha. Very strong language. And throughout all of the difficulties of Parshas Shemais, in Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Bamidbar, Moshe is a staunch defender of Klal Yisrael. Could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu here came with the harshest words of punishment of Teichecha? Here in Parshas Kisavim at the Atzmai Amran. Why is it so? I saw an amazing quote in the name of the previous Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalim, and he said the following. He said, we find that after the Churban, there's a concept of the Neshama Parim Sefaseinu, that if we learn about Karbanos, it brings a Kabbalah brings forgiveness just as if the Churban itself was being brought. When we show a parent sefaseinu. So here's a novel suggestion that the same thing is true about the kapara of Yisurim, the kapara of difficulties in life. That if a person learns through a parsha of Yisurim of difficulties, if a person takes it to heart as if it had happened, Chalila, then the person has the kapara as well. There's a neshama parent sefaseinu on Yisurim of difficulties in life as well. As it says in Tehillim Tzadik Dalid, Ashrei Hagever Asheti Yisrael Pa Umitiraska Tilandenu. Praise is the man whom God gives Yisurim. Umitiraska Tilandenu. And if you can learn from his Torah, that's even better. You have the lesson of the Yisurim without having to suffer the Yisurim. And perhaps that's what it means that Ezra made a takana, that we read the Teichecha Kolei Shev Mishnah Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah. We read it at the end of the year, so that the year and its curses should come to an end. And how is reading the parsha make it come to an end? Like his pasuk shot is that it's symbolic. So it's a synonym. But according to the words of the Sar Shalim, it can bring the kolos to an end. Because a person who takes to heart the punishments of Klal Yisrael, the Musar of Hashem through his Yisurim, doesn't need the Yisurim. The Yisurim are there for the lesson. Beautiful insight into the Moshe Rabbeinu's writing of the Teichecha. My third and final verse of today is actually that I'd like to share a mission with you. Now I go back to the beginning of the parsha of Bikurim. The bringing of Bikurim was an extraordinary event in Klal Yisrael. There's a Mishnah in Parak Gimel of Bikurim, Mishnah Gimel, which describes the Yid who brings Bikurim. The Mishnah says that when he brought Bikurim, he brought it to music. Chalil Makir Bithneim. Hashagonim Hagizborim Yotzim Lekrasam. They would be greeted by officials of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah says a Chiddush. Ho Bali Umni Yashab Yerushalayim Udim Dim Bithneim. That if they walked with their Bikurim through the streets of Yerushalayim, workers would stop working and stand up to them. And the Mefarshim explained that this is a halacha. Workers are not allowed to stop working to do other things if they're paid by the hour. But nevertheless, it was a takana that they'd be allowed to stop working, to stand up to the one who brings the Bikurim. And it's incredible when you understand that to stand up for a Talmud Chacham isn't disturbed a person's work. It was considered awesome. And yet, to stand up for the Mediei Bikurim, that was something that was done routinely. So the Mishnah says that that was the respect, the covenant that was given to those who bring the Bikurim. The Bar Tanura, who usually just says pshat in a Mishnah, here adds halacha l'maisa. The Bar Tanura says that from here is the custom that at a funeral, when the urn is rolled in, people stand up. For whom are they standing up? We would think in the honor of the Nifter. He says, no. In the honor of those accompanying the Nifter. In the honor of those who are bringing the Nifter, just as one who brings Bikurim is deserving of honor. One who is involved with working with the Chesed Shalemus of a Nifter also is worthy of honor when we stand up for him. The Bet Zedera goes on. It says, same thing at a Bris Milah, did you ever notice that when the baby is brought in, everyone stands up? Are we standing up for the baby? It's not a Zakein. You don't have to stand up for him. It says about Tanura, no, we're standing up for those who bring the baby. Because when they bring the baby in, they're Isaac the Mitzvah. So we stand up and give respect to those who stand up Isaac the Mitzvah. The custom has become to stand up when a chassid and kala walk into the chuppah room. Those of you who are my age or older will remember that this was never the custom in our circles. I don't know if this is something new or if it actually comes from a source that there were communities that had this custom. But if there's a reason for the minig to stand up, it's not because chassid daim alamelech or kala daim alamalka. We don't stand up for chassid and kala. The whole week of shadow brachas. Instead, it would be for the Shushin and those who accompany the Chasam and Kala, those who walk the Chasam and Kala down to the Chuppah. Just as one who brings in a mace, one who brings in a baby for a Bris Milah, but one who brings Bikurim is deserving of honor because he's Isaac the Mitzvah. So too, someone who brings in a Chasam and Kala deserves honor. He's Isaac the Mitzvah. Of course, the inside here is, imagine, a person who's being Isaac and bringing the Bikurim. We do mitzvahs to our fiat. We do it without focus. We do it nonchalantly. Someone's bringing in Bikurim. He's also visiting Yerushalayim. He's going to stay for a while. He might do the mitzvah of Bikurim in a second-hand way. He might have the Bikurim stuck into the back of his suitcase. When he realizes that everyone stands up for him, that what he's doing is such a chashuv, an important thing, he sees himself in a more chashuv light. Rambam used to say that the Chafetz Chaim once traveled with his son with a horse and buggy cab. And when he got to the destination, the son was very busy with the suitcases. And he paid the cab driver klaf riyad, sort of without focus, without attention. And the Chafetz Chaim said to him, that's how you makayim four mitzvahs d'oraisa, kila'af riyad. Rambam would talk about how it was four mitzvahs d'oraisa, because the mitzvah of the Yom HaTikvah thing on the right day includes three tzukim of the Torah that are mitzvahs. Rambam suggested maybe he was an ani, and it was a fourth mitzvah of the Chazak Dombay. The point is that we do mitzvahs, we should be master of the mitzvahs that we do. I'm going to close with a question regarding Bikurim, and that's why I left Bikurim for last. An incredible question, which I heard for the first time, and that is the following. What is the mitzvah of Bikurim? Is it a mitzvah to bring the Bikurim every year? The first fruits of each year's crop? Is that the mitzvah of Bikurim? Or is it the first time you have a harvest from your field? You buy a field, and your first harvest, it's once in a lifetime, once for a field. What's fascinating about this is that someone wrote this question to Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim answered that there's no makar in Shas or in the Rambam or in the Rishonim for an answer to this question. Whether it's a mitzvah you do each year or whether it's a mitzvah that you do once in a lifetime. An incredible thing, because I always assumed it was a yearly mitzvah. I don't know the answer. Reb Chaim Kanievsky doesn't know. I certainly don't know. Maybe one of you found a makar. Kashi Dakish will tell you a great man could not know, and you could bump into some source for whether this is a annual mitzvah, as most people assume, or a once-a-field mitzvah, once per each field that you buy. One point I would make, the mitzvah that said they made such a big fuss about everyone who brought the Bikurim is more understandable if it's a rare mitzvah. If it's a yearly mitzvah, every single farmer in Eretz Yisrael who came to Yerushalayim would have the same reception that everyone's standing up from him for him. There were millions of farmers in Eretz Yisrael. Why was it such an extraordinary event? Did they disrupt their work that often? If it's a rare mitzvah, then we can understand it better. I don't know the answer. If someone has a makar, and don't tell me the English translation, it's some safer, but a Mucker, the cowboy in the Gavel, the Talmud Chacham, who has a source, I'd love to hear it. In the meantime, a good Shabbos to one and all. I hope your preparations for the Yom Ne'erayim are in swing, despite the fact that we're still in August. Before you know, Rosh Hashanah will be upon us. Be prepared, avoid the rush, do tshuva now. Have a good Shabbos to all.